How can water do such great things?
Certainly it is not
just water, but the Word of God in and with the water does these things, along with the faith which trusts this Word of God in the water. For without God's Word, the water is plain water and no baptism. But with the Word of God, it is a baptism, that is, a life-giving water, rich in grace, and a washing of the new birth in the Holy Spirit, as St. Paul says in Titus chapter 3. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that, having been justified by his grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life. This is a trustworthy saying. Titus 3, verses 5 to 8. In the name of Jesus, amen. Good morning. Today we look at holy baptism, and specifically the third question that Luther asks. How can water do such great things? And Luther appeals to Titus chapter 3, and I'd like to read a few more verses so we get the whole context of that quote. And we'll walk through that quote today in our sermon. St. Paul writes, "For we ourselves were once foolish, disobedient, led astray, slaves to various passions and pleasures, passing our days in malice and envy, hated by others, and hating one another. But when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, he saved us, not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously, through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that being justified by his grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life." Now this text is about fathers and sons. It's about parenting and childbearing. That's what holy baptism is. It's your begetting and your adoption. See, a really important question for us is the question of who is your father. Now, for some of us, that conjures up happy memories, and others, painful ones. Sometimes this is a question that people are unsure how to answer. See, who our father is matters a lot, especially how he was. Was he a present father or an absent father? Did he care for you? Did he not? Did he love your mother or not? Did he do his job and care for your physical needs or did he not? Those are important questions about our earthly father, but today we're thinking about our spiritual father. You can have one of two. You can have God as your father, or you can have Adam as your father. We are all born dead in trespasses and sins. All of us were, as St. Paul says here, says in Ephesians 2, by nature children of wrath. We all inherited from Adam, our father, sin. His sin was passed down generation after generation. Everyone who is born in the natural way has sin in their heart. It is one sin, one common sin that affects us all. If we have Adam as our father, we will die in our trespasses and our sins. Paul describes man's condition here in our reading from Titus 3. He says, "We were foolish, disobedient, led astray, slaves to various passions and pleasures, passing our days in malice and envy, hated by others, and hating one another." That's what all of us are, every person on this planet before and apart from God and his work. Your spouse, your child, your boss, everyone bears Adam's sin in their heart. And if you don't believe me, then you're not paying attention to the world or to God's word. or to your own heart. And Scripture clearly says what happens to those who have sin, who break God's law, and who have Adam as their father. It says, those who practice such things deserve to die. And it also says, the wages of sin is death. And then we have the most beautiful words in Scripture. But when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, He saved us, not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to His own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Beautiful words and true words. Hear what Paul has to say to us today. God is the one who loved us first. Out of His kindness and His mercy, His love, He looked upon us and He saved us. Not because of anything we did. Not because of our works. Not because of any goodness in our heart. Not because of some potential good deed you might do someday. But entirely out of His love. God the Father looked upon you and said, I want you as my child. And what did He do? He sent His Son into the world. His Son became man. God and man together. Jesus had a divine and human nature. He came into this world. He was born in poverty. He was born in some corner of the empire that no one really cared about. He lived an innocent and righteous life for 30 years. And one day He approached the Jordan River. He was baptized. And when He was baptized, He took on your sin. And for 3 years, He carried your sins and bore the sins of the whole world upon His back. He healed people. He preached. He forgave. And what did they do for that? They crucified Him. But that was not an accident. That was part of God's plan. He had sent His Son to be rejected, to suffer the punishment that your sins deserved. And now through His suffering, death, and resurrection, He has won for you redemption. Now what part of that is your work? None of it. It's entirely what God did, what Jesus did for you. And now here, in holy baptism, God continues to be at work. Do you hear that in what Paul said? He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewal. And who works that regeneration and renewal? The Holy Spirit. Baptism is the instrument through which the Holy Spirit gives us new life. And that regeneration word is really important because we kind of think of that as a change. And chiefly we want to think of that as a change of our actions. Right? Regeneration means I don't drink or chew or go with girls that do, right? No. Regeneration means regenerationing. There is a new father. If you think about the generations before you, think about all the sinners in that line, all the way back to Adam. But now in holy baptism, there are adoption papers that have been given to you that have your name on them. And God's name on them. So now it doesn't matter how many generations of murderers and adulterers and pagans there are. Because now your genealogy goes back to God. God is your father. And you are His beloved son. That is the beautiful treasure that you have been given, dear Christian, in holy baptism. And if you are a son of God, then you are an heir. St. Paul says, so that being justified by His grace, by being declared righteous by His grace, by His favor, His love, we might become heirs. Heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Having been justified by God's grace as a free gift, he declares us innocent on account of Christ. And he guarantees, he promises the inheritance of eternal life. Instead of the eternal damnation that you deserve because of your father Adam, you now have been given eternal life in your heavenly Father through Jesus Christ. In his holy name, amen.